Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here.
Mark, are you seeing any market shakeout from the bank collapses in the U.S.?
Well, we had a little bit of a mini panic here a couple trading days ago. Everybody's thinking of this another Lehman moment from back in the 2008 period, and the Fed and everybody else is jumping in, and FDIC and so forth. I mean, it's funny because, you know, we talk about cycles and market predictions, and I've been talking about this for several months about how there could be a low in mid-March, and what could possibly trigger that. It could have been a geocosmic or geopolitical event, or it could have been the wars accelerating, and it turns out to be a short-term banking crisis that created a bit of a panic, and it may have defined that little cyclical low that we were looking for. So we'll see. I'm pretty much a bear. I still think there are a lot of issues out there. We talk about the banks, and we're talking about the Fed, and on and on. But we still have a Ukrainian war, and the powers that be, without naming the individuals, want to see unfold for their own, political reasons and monetary reasons, I guess, too, if you believe the military industrial complex thinking. So, Taiwan, China, and, Israel's got to do something about Iran with that, the nuclear capability coming on board in a few days, apparently. There's all kinds of stuff out there. I just think, the markets are, still sort of in a troubling situation. And of course, even if you're bullish, we have that 4-year cycle low due, it's called a presidential cycle, due sometime between September and next March. So if we rally, you probably come back down into the fall again. But, there are definitely a lot of trading opportunities out there, and it's a trader's market. I don't know if this is the investor's market. The only thing I could see investing in might be, energy like crude oil or, solar and stuff, if the stuff gets cheap enough, that you could hold, through the storms. So, right now the bulls seem to have a little bit of an upper hand, but my overall view is that we're headed back down to the October lows. So, that's, what's that, about 3,600 in the S&P and 28,000 in the Dow, somewhere way down there. So we got a long way to go. At some point this year, I still think there's more coming, and whether it's war that triggers it, or, the financial crisis gets worse, or the Fed does something stupid like it's been doing, or a combination of all those events, more likely it's an outlier event. It's always an outlier event. Like the COVID was an outlier, but nobody really predicted that outside of those who apparently had inside information about what was coming. But, there's always something, so the banking crisis now, what is it going to be that's going to drive it down the next time? We all think we have a handle on stuff, and, this stuff comes out of thin air. So, it makes trading the market fun, Jim. I can tell you that, because, we were a bit bearish, as you know, looking for a correction into March, and it wasn't a straight down affair, but we're sort of happy it unfolded. Now we're just going to take it a day at a time and see if we get further confirmation of some type of you know, tradable bottom here. And, you know, we have a solar eclipse coming up in mid-April. April tends to be a time where there's a lot of negative events have occurred as well. So, you know, we're just not out of the woods. You know, I think for most investors, those who are smart enough to buy treasury bills, you know, when they approach the 5% level, should be proud of themselves, because the yields have come down here in the last, you know, week or so. You know, I guess optimism that the Fed isn't going to raise rates as much, or is going to apparently pause because of what's going on in the banking crisis. Whatever reason, you know, the yields on the treasury bills have pulled off a bit. But the Fed keeps saying, you know, it wants to raise rates. And, you know, we know they're going to go higher, even though that's not really the answer. There really is no one answer. I'm not saying I have the answer, but raising rates is not the answer to solving the so-called inflation problem. There's so many variables on the table. We could spend a lot of time talking about that. But, you know, at the moment, the Fed has its reputation, or Jay Powell has his reputation at stake here. So we'll see, you know, how that all plays out.
Mark, before we go any further, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. I'm glad you brought it up. If you're interested, and I hope you are, in subscribing to any of the VR Trader newsletters, go to VRTrader.com, and there's a promo code 2022 half off. I'm still using 2022 half off. Still works. That's 2022 HALFOFF, and you just insert that in the promo code slot, and you get 50% off. And also, want to take the opportunity to disclose that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice.
You mentioned that just increasing interest rates isn't the only way to attack inflation. Is there anything the Fed can do, or should the Fed just walk away and let the natural markets and cycles take place?
Well, if they want to do it, my opinion is you've got to cut back on the money supply. There's still too much, you know, money supply out there. They got to cut back, too much free money floating around, and they really haven't reduced that. It's been a minor pullback. In fact, this past week, I think it increased a bit because a lot of banks went to the window and borrowed a lot of money, you know, because of this so-called financial crisis. So it might have upticked a little bit. So they have to pull back on the amount of funds that are available and make it harder to borrow money. In other words, I'm not saying I want to see this happen, but, you know, you got to make it tougher to borrow money, you know, pull in the reins a bit. And see, what's happening right now is, with inflation greater than the official interest rate, you're getting sort of a free ride. In other words, you're borrowing money less than the inflation rate, so it pays to continue to borrow money and expand and do stuff. If they make it more difficult to borrow and they restrict that and bring down the amount of money available for borrowing, and in addition to tightening things up, that would bring the problem, help pull back the inflation a bit, and make what the inflation rate and the actual, you know, rate equal, which is not the case right now. So, the inflation is running higher than where the actual rates are. And, you know, that's part of the problem, bridging that gap. You know, it's just a tough time because we don't want to see a Paul Volcker, you know, 1980 type scenario where rates just go crazy and crazy, and things get tighter and tighter, and you know, it's just unfortunate that things were left undone for such a long period of time, and so much money was sloshing around, and COVID came around, and suddenly the government starts sending out checks to people, and all this government support where people don't have to work, and you know, nothing, you know, came here by accident. I mean, you know, it was mismanagement in terms of government policy, the COVID disaster, which is somewhat of a conspiracy, in my opinion, because we find out that so much about the disease and masks and all the other stuff and injections weren't told the truth, but then they printed all this money. And I mean, it just, so we're paying the price for the excesses of the COVID situation. So it wasn't only, you know, the Biden administration, it was under Trump as well, where they, you know, like, approve and acknowledge this type of crazy, crazy activity. So, you know, well, we're just in that time frame now, and there's so many variables out there. How's it going to play out? Are more outlier events going to come in that make the inflation worse, you know, with more supply chain issues and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So it's going to be a crazy year or two. That's what I'm saying. I've been saying this. I mean, a lot of volatility. We could see the markets all the way back down to where they were last fall, maybe even lower. We could have a sharp rally like we saw here the last day or two because the government's stepping in and trying to make people feel better. And then they do that, and suddenly war breaks out somewhere, you know, and that changes the situation. So, you know, if I was an investor, and I'm not an investment advisor, I'm just saying those treasury bills, when they were up around 5%, looked awfully interesting, you know, where you have a risk-free position, and you sit and watch all the fun and activity this year. I suspect, even though the treasury bill rates have pulled down a bit here because of, I think, unfounded optimism about the Fed and their solutions, that you'll probably see the treasury bill rates go back up again. So, you know, being low-key here, and unless you're trading every few days or back and forth, you know, we tend to do a lot of that kind of stuff. But, you know, there are, you know, plenty of trading opportunities out there.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with crude? The prices have come down, and we haven't had our annual crude refinery explosion or fire yet to give them a reason to boost gasoline prices.
I know, maybe it'll be the war instead, but yeah, I'm still a bull on crude and energy. We've had a bit of a correction, and you know, some of them came off their little trading lows. In fact, trading today, Thursday, and then you read and hear that Warren Buffett continues to add to his position in Occidental Petroleum. And, you know, I don't think it's unfair to say he's probably one of the smartest investors in the world. So if he's bearish on oil, I don't think he would have a huge position and continue to accumulate Occidental. I think you just got to follow Warren on this. He's got, either he's making the biggest mistake of his life or he's the smartest, you know, investor out there, which is probably more likely the case. I mean, if you think about what's going on in the world and shortages and refinery capabilities, and you say there could be, who knows, some type of accident or disaster and the war potential, you know, the conversion into electric vehicles and among other things is going to happen so fast. So, yeah, I mean, I think crude could be back over $100 a barrel, possibly even this year. So, you know, technically, it's real oversold. It looked like it hit a little trading bottom. Let's watch the charts. And but if I, you know, if some of these energy stocks, and I don't want to mention names. They're in my newsletter. They're in the gold, the metal resource letter, and my platinum letter. You know, there's one in particular we really like that's yielding 13-15% on a dividend. Plus, it's in the oil and that you know, natural gas business, one of the biggest names out there. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff there that, you know, sort of makes sense. And, yeah, I'm a bull. I look like we had a little trading bottom, waiting for more confirmation. But I would say through the course of the year, we're going to see, a nice rally in crude.
If people are nervous about the banks, is gold a good hedge?
Well, yes, on a big picture basis, and I can't give you all the timing of this because, again, I have my reservations a little bit because of the dollar under Democratic administrations. You know, the dollar tends to be strong. It had a nice rally, had a nice correction, and it looked like it was coming off a little bit of a bottom. But, you know, if that rally continues, that's not going to be good. And unless the market just anticipates the Democrats here in the U.S. are just kind of falling out of bed, and it's definitely going to be a Republican presidency in 2025, and the market anticipates a reversal of the dollar position. But it would make more sense to me that the dollar would remain strong, at least during the current administration here in the U.S., and that could put a little bit of a damper on the gold and silver market. So, you know, we were long here as a trade. just to let you know. I mean, we're not bearish all the time. It looked like a trading bottom here, and we had a little bounce. And, you know, maybe the dollar, you know, will pull back here a little bit more than we thought, and you'll get a little more of a bounce. And the caveat, though, from the bearish point of view, is if gold could take out that 2020 and 2022 high, which is in that 2060, 2070 area, you know, which is not that far away. I mean, got over 1900 just recently based in U.S. dollars. If it does somehow manage to break out for whatever reason, whether it's news related or technical, that could really get it going, you know, up to 2300 or some much bigger number. So let's see if that unfolds. And right now I'm just thinking you get a technical bounce in it, but, as far as big picture stuff, listen, Jim, you know, you got a 5,000 year history with gold, and we know that's always there. And unless they're mining it in the asteroids that we sort of joke about, but we do have the technology, and there's a big supply out there that we don't know about that is going to depress the market. I mean, that is a variable, but I don't know if it's happening right now. It's going to happen 10 years from now. But outside of stuff like that, you know, it's a good hedge just because, you know, the banks do something stupid like they've been doing, or the government doesn't bail them out, or there's a run on the banks, or suddenly the government decides to create all your cash or checking accounts into digital currency, where it's, and you can't have cash anymore. I mean, there are all these things that are on the drawing board and look like they may happen in the near term. You'll say, hell with this. I don't want to, you know, risk having my money, you know, sort of not confiscated, but, you know, you're tracked minute to minute and everything you do, and you'd rather not have money in banks and so forth. You rather have other assets. So I would say gold is probably a fair decision, though I think I would balance that with real estate. I mean, not just fixed stuff only in gold. I mean, any hard asset that keeps you out of the banking system or money out of your checking accounts is not a bad idea, with all the uncertainty that's going on. But whether you'll be profitable with the gold, that's the problem. What if gold, you know, is like 1900 and drops back to 1200 before it goes up to 2300? You know what I mean? So a lot of, you know, veiled variables based on politics and cycles here. But I suppose if you look out, you know, 5 or 10 years and you take a longer term view, you know, the lesson is that, you know, we're probably going to at some point break out above that double top and run again. And, doesn't, you know, hurt to have some coins.
What's your feeling on cryptocurrencies right now?
Doing well. We have, you know, in our newsletter, we've talked about owning Bitcoin. And actually, it ran today to a new little recovery high. We play the GBTC, which is the ETF. Or it's not really an ETF. It's a trust for Bitcoin. And there's some dispute going on now with the regulators about changing that GBTC into actually an ETF versus a trust. And I'm not sure what the difference would actually be for investors or traders, but the GBTC, which should mirror supposedly the move in Bitcoin, has been upticking. And as I mentioned to you before, my understanding is that even the Securities and Exchange Commission, which has been out to regulate all the cryptos, officially did declare that Bitcoin was a commodity, and therefore they're not going to have any jurisdiction over it. So that sort of frees it up for those who still believe in Bitcoin. I'm one of those. You know, I still think it's going much, much higher, but you got to take 2-3 year perspective with this darn thing, because that's the way it's been trading. You know, it can go to hell for 2-3 years and then suddenly come back and run again. So I'm a bull. And as far as all the other cryptos, you just have to look at each one individually. I guess if Bitcoin moves up, Ethereum and XRP and even the doggy coin, Dogecoin, that Elon Musk likes, I guess could have some life to it. But the safe bet, I think, would be the Bitcoin.
What's happening on the geocosmic front that we might be interested in?
Well, it's always fun stuff out there. I don't have anything hot, you know, today. We still have about 45 active volcanoes on the planet, which is sort of unbelievable. And, you know, there's still recovery operations underway from that Turkish earthquake. And there's some unusual solar activity going on, some sunspots on the other side of the sun that are you know, creating some mystery on those who track that. And, we, you know, there's a bunch of little asteroids floating around that we may not know about till the last minute, but even if we do, they're probably smaller ones. So, you know, there's always, this stuff, you know, the Mother Earth is, you know, she's doing her own thing. And, you know, you just don't know when something's going to strike. But, you know, I guess of all of them, I'm more concerned about the volcanic activity because, you know, enough of those continue to pollute the atmosphere. You know, that can bring down, you know, the ability to grow crops. And maybe that's one of the reasons we thought, you know, through analysis, we're seeing indirectly, you know, higher prices in commodities because of the inability to grow stuff. If sunlight is reduced, and that would occur during, you know, the spreading of volcanic ash and so forth around the world. So, you know, when you have earthquakes, that's shaking up the ground, and the earth volcanoes are all connected to that. So, you know, an asteroid versus the volcano, I think some of the asteroids that we've seen that have snuck in there have been smaller ones, and I think they've tracked the big ones. And they do predict there is the risk of something in 2046, you know, way out of a huge one, possibly getting close to the Earth, unless they just don't monitor these things as carefully as we hope. I actually post that every day on my website. You can do it yourself at spaceweather.com, and there's actually a whole list of all the asteroids that are being tracked. So there are a lot of other people besides myself, believe me, paying attention to the risk that's out there, because it's cataclysmic if it does occur. And obviously what the Fed and Putin and everybody else is doing is irrelevant if one of those things hit the planet. So, we don't want to go the way of the dinosaur, but yeah, there's this interesting stuff. And I just, you know, I post it on the website every night, any stuff there. And the other subject, of course, we always seem to touch on because it's sort of indirectly related, is the extraterrestrial, UFO cover up. You know, we've seen these vehicles. The government has released pictures of them. It's gone quiet here for a while for the last few weeks. But, I think I mentioned this in last week's interview. Sarah Carter, who's one of the former Fox News commentators, actually posted a Twitter, post. And I actually copied it and put it in my newsletter, and it says the Pentagon officials told her that there's a mothership in the galaxy, and a lot of these craft that we're starting to see are somewhat related to some large alien ship that's floating around out there. And you might laugh at this stuff, but I don't laugh because, you know, it's my intuition. It's people that I've interviewed and things that I've researched for decades. And, you know, Donald Trump created the space program for more than just military reasons, in my opinion. So there's stuff going on out there, and a lot of it is covered up. And maybe, you know, my feeling is it's probably getting extremely active, and they have to distract us on a certain level to keep us not thinking about that. Because, you know, there are actually documents that have surfaced in the Freedom of Information Act from NASA has written, or the Majestic 12, which was that group that President Truman created after the Roswell incident in 1947, actually states that we have to cover up and keep quiet any of this type of activity because of the uncertain reaction on the part of the populace. You know, the religious community is affected, just the society as a whole. And they have, it actually stated that government policy is to subdue and, you know, lie and divert any conversation about the existence of anything like this because it just would scare too many people. So if that's an ongoing policy, we may never hear all the details because, you know, they don't want riots in the street. They don't want anything, you know, that would disturb the, socio-religious, community and, you know, they're just going to conduct their activities through their space program secretly or whatever they need to do or not do. So that's really the truth. You know, there is activity going on out there and it's being covered up. And whether that level affect the markets or we'll ever find out about this stuff, that's to be seen. There are some that speculated, not me, that, you know, there was going to be some type of false or flag event. You know, when that balloon flew over, I said to myself, maybe this is the beginning of it, where they create something in the sky and it gets everybody, you know, diverted and excited and, protective. And, they use this as a, you know, sort of a military tactic, you know, to get everybody off guard and redirect their energies elsewhere because there's other things happening and they're trying to distract you. So they create these false flag events. So the balloon may not have been it. And there was some speculation that, at some point you might see a bunch of these, ships, these spaceships, which may in effect be our own that we've created from either reverse alien technology or we just have developed stuff so far into that you would call science fiction that exists. And they would create some event where you see these things flying all over the place and get everybody distracted in some way. And that's that false flag theory that's been, you know, written and talked about on the internet and Twitter and other sources for a couple of years. In fact, I saw an article even back to 2016 talking about the military plan supposedly regarding such an event. So, just interesting stuff. You may never see anything. I enjoy following it. I write about it in the newsletter. And well, why do I do that? Because I'm always looking for outlier events. It seems like any major market event is a surprise. It doesn't come as a predicted outcome, as we all hope and think, you know, it's like Mother Nature itself. Just there's so many things that are unpredicted and, you know, but, you know, sometimes we do get warnings, you know, the stock market is a collective consciousness of the financial world and, you know, things seep into it. So you'll see a top in the market and then you'll find out there's some other reason months later why that happened. So I think by focusing on the technicals and the cyclicals, which I do, I get a pretty good handle on what the future might be like and what the exact event will be. It will probably be as much a surprise to me as anyone else.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
It was always fun. Thank you, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.